is our interest in your prayers for just a little bit this afternoon. I'd like for us to read a scripture found in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, and that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we might may be accepted of Him. Paul letting us know here that he really would like to go on and be with the Lord. But he wants to do the will of the Lord and be what the Lord would have him to be. And he is trying desperately, it seems, to be satisfied with where he is. He said, I willing to be rather absent from the body and the present with the Lord. But we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. My little thought this afternoon lies in the 7th verse. He said, we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we need to understand and realize and accept that it is faith now and sight later. This Christianity that the Bible teaches about Christ all comes about by believing. It all comes about by faith. We have to believe in someone that we've never seen with our natural eyes. We've got to believe all these characters that we read about in the Bible, including the Apostle Paul. We got to believe that their witness of the Lord is true. Peter said it was. And we've got to take these things by faith and not by sight. I wonder how exciting would you say your life is? How exciting? Some people like excitement. The older I get, the less excitement that I need. But people today, a lot of people, are seeking high voltage experiences, if I can say it that way, to inspire their faith. Some great thing to come along to inspire our faith. But when you look on your life and I look on mine, I ask this question, do you see dramatic evidence of God at work in your life? Was your life rather quiet and possibly routine? Some people have a flair for the dramatic. Some people have to see God have a high voltage experience in seeing God. But folks, faith is not like that. Faith is something in your heart. Faith arises up in your heart and accepts and believes the witness that God has given you personally in your own heart and life. One of the hardest lessons, I would say, that we have to learn is to discern between faith and realization. Faith and realizing the situations that we deal with. All of the enemies that have to be conquered have to be conquered by faith. Not by seeing the consequences or knowing the outcome or to be able to see the actual happening, but it must be by faith if we conquer our enemies. The only way that we're going to be able to get a hold of this great salvation that we have this afternoon is by faith. If you're saved today, you took it by faith. And it's faith all the way through. In every situation and circumstance and things that you deal with in life, it's faith in God and in His Word all the way through. It doesn't have to take some great happening or some great experience for me to believe it, but I believe it because God said it. His Word says it. And so it's faith now, but one of these days it'll be sight, won't it? I think about the scripture, or not the scripture, but the song that says something about I rise up to the skies, I'll drop this robe and rise, it says, into the everlasting skies and say farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. One day, when the sight comes, when this is over, Paul said, willing rather to be absent, but willing to also stay here. That one of these days, when we're gone to that side, folks, we won't have to pray anymore. We won't have to have faith anymore, but that faith will become a reality. But while you and I are here today, and as we deal with the mundane cares of life, sometimes it gets pretty mundane, doesn't it? Pretty routine. But you can still know that God is at work in your life if you have faith in God. If you'll trust Him. Like to look at a scripture. I'll try not to be up here real long this afternoon. I've been awake since 5:30 this morning and I'm kind of wore out myself. So I'd like to look at a scripture. It's found in the book of John and the 20th chapter, an experience here that we've all read before. In the 26th, where do I want to start? Let's start at the 24th verse. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. See, Thomas was in that place, wasn't he? He had to have this great experience. I gotta see this thing. But folks, it's not a see thing right now, it's a believe thing. The disciples was telling him that what they had seen and that Jesus had been there, but Thomas wasn't there. Folks, we weren't there. I didn't see them put my Savior to death on the cross, but I believe that they did. Though I was not there, I believe that He was there for you and I. I feel the effects in my heart and in my life. I see the effect of what believing in the Son of God has done for me. How it's changed me, how it's blessed me, how all that He's given me through His great salvation. I see the change because I believed. Even though I wasn't there, even though I didn't see him drive the nails through his hands and his feet, I still believe they did that. And I believe my Savior laid there for me. and gave his life and was crucified for me. I believe that. But Thomas said, except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Folks, do we need that kind of visual evidence this afternoon? Do we need Jesus to walk in here physically and be able to put our, to see the nail prints in his hand? I don't need that. This thing is real to me. God is real to me. And I take it by faith. Always have and always will, folks. And if you and I are going to be successful, may the Lord inspire and bless our faith to be strong. To believe God's word. To believe what his son accomplished for us on Calvary. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas was with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. You know, I've always liked that verse of scripture there. It says Jesus came and the doors were shut. The doors didn't keep Jesus out, but he came in the midst. And he said, peace be unto you. And then said he to Thomas. See, he knew all about this situation, didn't he? He said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. You know, the Lord wants all of us to be believers. To be believers in every part of his word. Not just take what we like, what feels good, what doesn't come against us or cross us, but to take all of his word, and he wants you and I to be believers in it. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Made him a believer, didn't he? It made him a believer, but he had to put his fingers. Hands, let's see, behold my hands and reach through to thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe. I believe today because of what the old ministers, the old prophets taught me and preached to me when I was a young boy. I believe today. I believe today because I've heard the word of God preached down through the years, and I believe it. I've seen the effect of it. I can see the effect. I don't even have to take that by faith. I can see the effect of what salvation has done in the lives of men and women. You know what it's done in your life. And he said, my Lord and my God. Now Thomas believes. But he had to put his hand in his side. He had to see it with his own eyes. Lord, help us today. Faith now. Sight later. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those that have not seen, yet they believe. I'm a believer. I'm a believer this afternoon. I have seen so much evidence of what God can do. In my own life, I've seen. I've seen so many times when God has healed his people. I've been there when God has practically brought people back from death back to life. I've seen when God's come down on the scene, manifested himself in such a great way. I don't have to put my hand in his side. I've seen what God has done for his people. I've seen what he's done for us. There's a song that says, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. Do we believe that? Do you have faith to believe that this afternoon? He will make a way. We had a little old dried up sister. And I say, little old dried up, she was an old woman, I was a little boy, and she was a little woman. Sister Lambert, if I heard her say it once, I probably heard her say it 25 or 30 times or more. God will make a way where there ain't no way. How many times have you seen God do that? But Lord, help us. Us poor human beings, we go around and because we don't know how it's going to work out and we're disturbed about it, we run around and we're worrying about how this thing's going to come to pass. God will make a way when there ain't no way. He'll make a way for me, the song says. We know that's true. There isn't a one of us here this afternoon that can deny that God will not make a way for you. God has been faithful. He's proven himself to you and I time and time again. By faith and not by sight, Paul said. Lord, help us to have the faith that we ought to have today. Not the faith of Thomas. Not that we got to be able to reach in and see with our own eyes. Know for my own self. I know for my own self because I exercise the faith that I have to believe that God is what he is and does what he said he'll do for each and every one of us. So look at Psalms, the book of Psalms, the 27th chapter. Read some scriptures. Try to encourage us a little bit this afternoon. Psalms 27. Verse 7 says, Hear, O Lord. See, this is us. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. That's what we cry out. We cry out to the Lord, have mercy on me, O Lord. You know, desperate straits. When we get in desperate straits or in hard places, sometimes call for desperate measures. You know that? Sometimes we need to see God in a mighty way. Sometimes we do need to see that. And God knows when those times are. But he said here, he cried out, Hear, Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou said, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. I'm seeking you, Lord. And then he went on and said, Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Hide not thy face far from me. David had those experiences. David was running. He was on the lam. He was out running from King Saul. And he's crying out, Lord, you know, what did I do? You've had me anointed to be the next king, but what have I done wrong? Lord, hear my cry. Have mercy on me. Lord, I need you to work something out here. And this was literal. Because King Saul was after David. He said, don't hide your face from me. Do you know, sometimes the Lord does hide his face. Have you ever been in a sequence? Not once or twice. But have you ever needed something from the Lord real bad and been in a sequence of prayer time and time and time and you feel like you're not getting anywhere with it? You feel like maybe it ain't going any higher than the ceiling that you're under? Folks, sometimes the God of wisdom, the God of love, and the God of mercy, he's going to test your love and he's going to test your faith. He's going to see how long you're going to hold on. He's going to see what you're really made of, the metal that you're made of. And sometimes he hides his face, just like he did Job. I can't see you on the left or the right or the front and the back. Can't find you, Lord. But I need you. We all need him. And the Lord knows that. He's our salvation. He's our deliverance. He's our present help in every time of need. And we got all those promises where he said he would be a present help in every time of need. Verse 13. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he tells us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why do we need to wait on the Lord? So God can strengthen us. Make us stronger in the Lord. Make us stronger in the battle. That's why we need to wait on the Lord. And he said, be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. And he said, wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Oh, the sisters come and met Jesus on the road and said, both of them, different times come out, said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. Folks, just because we can't feel him sometimes doesn't mean that he's not there. Just because we may be struggling sometimes doesn't mean that he is not there. He is our buffer between us and the enemy of our souls. He loves us to the nth degree, if I can say it that way. He will do whatever he needs to do to help us in our time of need. Lord, help us. Faith now, sight later. Right now, the Lord wants us to have faith and to trust in God, and we're going to have that as long as we're in this life and in this world. You know, I said desperate straits call for desperate measures sometimes. And I want to say God is good at that. Good with this. God is good when we get in desperate places to work about desperate measures, isn't he? Oh, he specializes in showing his power in hopeless situations that you and I get in. Oh, I hope we can get a hold of some of this. Our faith will be encouraged. I don't think we can ever preach on faith too much. I don't believe we can ever talk about faith too much, because we're all in our battles. We're all in our trials. I want, Lord, inspire our faith. God is a specialist in showing his power in hopeless situations in your life and in mine. He's a specialist. But the writer said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. You know, the Bible proves out his specialties. When Israel was in dire straits, when things looked desperate for them and the enemy was back there and there was a big body of water in front of them, mountains on the side, God parted the sea, didn't he? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, it's so hard for us to stand still. Lord, I need it now. Or, Lord, I needed it yesterday. That's how we feel sometimes. Faith now, sight later. It isn't always the dramatic experiences, folks, that God's going to work in our lives. But what he will do is wait on us and help and try to cause us to trust him, to believe in him. He's got this. He's got it. You may not have it. You may lose it, but he's got it. And he knows just how to bring us through. He knows just how to help us. When he parted that water before them, he brought them through on dry land, didn't he? You and I can't even imagine this. We hear that story. You try to get it in your mind. Try to wrap your mind around that he parted this big body of water and his people walked across on dry land. Right then and there. Get it in your mind, folks. That's unhumanly impossible. Humanly impossible that we could even conceive such a thing. But this is God. And with him, all things are possible. There was a man in the Bible who had a prayer life. People didn't like it. They were looking to find fault with him. And the only thing they could find fault with him was in his prayer life. And because he went up there and he opened the windows three times a day and he prayed, and the king made a decree that they should worship only his God, the king's God, Daniel was put in the lion's den. You believe that? Do you believe that Daniel was put in a lion's den? And he was protected there. When the old king came the next morning, troubled all night long, Daniel probably slept like a baby. King troubled all night long, and he come to that den and he said, "Oh, Daniel, is your God able to save you? Oh, king, live forever." God sent an angel and closed the lion's mouth. The lion couldn't even open his mouth to bite me if he wanted to. God closed it. He's a specialist, folks, in hopeless situations. He's proved it time and time again. Faith now, sight later. Three Hebrew children. They'd been put in a fiery furnace. And the king looked in there and he saw four men. They threw three and he saw four. And the ones that threw him in were consumed by the fire. The furnace was so hot, God delivered them. Those were put in there for a testimony to you and I. For our encouragement. We need to look on those things when we're challenged by our circumstances of life. We need to consider what God has done for His people. And Brother Rick quotes a lot, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same, isn't He? He's still the same. Let's look at a scripture over in the book of Acts. We know this one well too. Let's read it anyway. Paul and Silas. Well, let's read verse 19. And when her masters, this woman was possessed with a spirit of divination, Paul and Silas exposed her. When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. Brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. We'll find some kind of an accusation against them. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes, commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Oh, I can just imagine that he made well sure, best of his capabilities, they weren't going anywhere. And it says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. We should never, Lord help me, rule out the divine providence of God in behalf of His children. If you read the 43rd chapter, just the first few verses, the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, he says there, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the fire, it won't harm you. He said, I know you by name, and I gave Egypt and Ethiopia a ransom for you. Folks, God can and will move mountains for His people. He will. He has. And He still is able to show His power in hopeless situations for God's people. Now, I want to read this. Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That's important. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Now, the skeptic can come along and say, well, you know, earthquakes has been happening all down through time. But this night, it happened. And what the effects of the earthquake says, all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosened. You can call that coincidence if you want to. I call that divine providence. Faith now, sight later. And it says, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You think the earthquake was for Paul and Silas? I'm going to tell you, the Lord knew that Paul was going to be delivered freedom the next day. Paul was to be set free the next day. But the Lord sent an earthquake. Folks, the earthquake was sent that this jailer and his family and his house would be saved. And it was necessary. It says they prayed and they sang praises unto God and the prisoners heard them. Folks, God was beginning to send the message. He was beginning to work on them, sending conviction upon them. This earthquake, we can say it was for Paul and Silas if you want to, but I'm telling you it was for the salvation of the jailer and his house. God is interested in people being saved. And he'll use his people to whatever way that he needs to get that to happen if he can. That's what he did with Paul and Silas. He knew Paul was going to be delivered, released the next day. So, he sent this earthquake anyhow. Oh yeah, you know, the doors were open. The bands were loose. Paul didn't go anywhere. Don't do any harm. Don't do anything like that. We're still here. We didn't go anywhere. Paul wasn't anxious to run. He was there for the salvation of a soul and his house. He called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, I remember a few years back, the night before I got to Monarch, someone told me that, said, boy, you should have been here last night. Brother Bruner was up preaching, said it got dark. The Lord sent the rains through here and the winds through here and people got scared and Brother Bruner was told you might as well just be quiet. They can't hear you for the noise anyway on the metal roof or on the roof, hitting the roof so hard. And it said people were lining up at the altars. That's a poor time to wait, isn't it? That's a poor reason. Well, it's a good reason. But it's poor, pitiful that you've got to wait till you think you may be losing your life to go running and begging for mercy. Well, these fellows here saw what was going on and he knew he feared for his life because he was charged to keep these people in bounds, in stocks, and in that prison. Put them in the inner prison. And he was getting ready to take his life, but he said, what must I do? God sent the prayers and the songs. Conviction began to fall on this man's heart. And it said, he went on and said, and they believed. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith now. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. How did you get there? Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said they... And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and his, all of his straightway. I understand, just for our little edification here this afternoon, some people kind of use this little scripture to justify infant baptism because his whole house was baptized. But I want to say to you, it says that he preached unto them the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. The word of the Lord was preached to those that heard and understood and believed. Not to infants. Not to little babies. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, let these men go. God had already let them go. But there were some people saved in the process. That's what God is interested in, isn't it? Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. You don't know. You and I don't know how he's going to use us to try to help another soul to be saved. We don't know. But Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, help us to be faithful. You know, there was another fellow back then in those days in the 12th chapter of Acts. I won't turn over there and read it, but Peter was in prison too, wasn't he? Peter was put in prison and he wasn't going to be released the next day. He was going to be executed. They were going to take his life. But the Lord set him free. The door swung open and out he went. Right out between the sleeping guards. God set him free. Say it again. He specializes in showing his power in hopeless situations. Let's not forget that, folks. Wait on the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Believe in his word. Peter slept. It says, and Paul and Silas prayed and sang songs. They handled their situations a little differently. God got his glory, and his purpose was accomplished in both of them. And he wants to do that with you and I, if we have faith in God. Now, I read a little story that I want to share with you. I believe it's a true story. There was a young woman named Rebecca. She was at her lowest as she drove her aging car to the daycare to pick up her daughter. Her boss was making life difficult again. The landlord was raising her rent. Any of that sound familiar? It may not have happened to us, but we know people it has happened to. And she says, Lord, I'm trying my best. Please help me. I wonder how many times that cry has gone forth across our world. God, I'm trying my best. I'm at my wit's end, Lord. They're raising my rent. My boss is making life difficult for me, probably trying to get rid of me. I'm trying my best. I got this old clunker of a car. I'm going to daycare to get my daughter and pick her up. Me and my daughter trying to struggle and make it alone. She said, God, I'm trying my best. Please. Please help me. Oh, I tell you, the Lord is such a compassionate God. He is. For we have not, the scripture says, a great high priest that cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. He loves everyone. He died for everyone. This poor woman cried out. And I believe those same words have been cried out all across the world, time and time again. Well, the end of the story is that God made a way for Rebecca. A job that she had applied for months earlier suddenly opened up. Imagine that. Just happened? Or did God hear her cry? Or did God have mercy on her? The new income would be enough to cover her rent and take care of those needs. And then a family came along and made a newer car available to her.
God. Sometimes we wonder, we cry out, Lord, why this? And Lord, why that? You know, one of the biggest sins that children of Israel committed in the wilderness was murmuring and complaining against God. Don't have enough to eat, don't have enough to drink. You brought us out here in this wilderness to die? No. Lord, help us to have faith. Lord, I'm trying the best I know how. You know, God will bless that. You're doing the best. You're doing the best that you absolutely know how. God knows. And that touches him. When life seems to be closing on you, don't despair. Trust God. We walk by faith, not by looking at the things that are before us. Thomas would have been a lot better off, but it happened as for an example for us. He wouldn't believe the other disciples. He'd walked with them and seen Jesus' ministry, but he wouldn't believe him. I gotta reach my hand in his side. I gotta see this one for myself. Lord, help us today to have faith in God, because God has promised to make a way. I think about old Job and all that he went through. He kept his integrity. His own wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? But he kept his integrity, folks. God is love. And God loves you. And God loves me. He loves us enough that He'd given us life and breath another day today. He's loving us enough that He'd come and visit us by His Spirit and send forth His Word to encourage our hearts. This is God, not Larry. God loves us enough. He wants us to be encouraged and inspired. Faith now. One of these days you can throw that faith away. You won't need it anymore. But right now we need faith. We need to hope in God. And I want to say this in closing. Blessed are those that find God's Word sufficient in whatever it is that they need or going through. To find God's Word sufficient. Really, it's all we need, folks. It's really all we need is His Word. Many of us sometimes, we may feel we've been in the place of Rebecca, crying out, Lord, I'm doing the best that I can, but I need help from a higher power. I need help from a loving God. God gave it. You know, the end of her life, like Job's, the end of his life was a lot different too, wasn't it? God blessed him with even more children. The daughters were more fair than the first ones. And he had double the riches that he had at the beginning. God blesses his people. I've never seen, the author says, the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I pray our faith will be encouraged, inspired this afternoon. That we'll be encouraged to trust God. There's so many things that we have, us right here in this little room today. So many things that we deal with. Life is busy. Trials here, trials there. So many things you gotta take care of. So many things you gotta do. Sometimes it's overwhelming, isn't it? It's overwhelming. Lord, I'm doing the best I can. I need you to help me. You know, I believe God will hear a humble cry like that. I know He will. I'm doing the best I can. Please help me. God has always been in the business of helping His people, folks. Be encouraged this afternoon. Have faith now. One of these days, we'll be able to have sight and follow God. You follow the Lord. You be faithful. Because I can tell you this, He'll be faithful to you. Can we sing 289?